Hello and a very warm and happy new year to you all. Welcome to a new year of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. I'm Colin Byers, and here, without the new year, new me rubbish, is the same old Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along.
Thank you very much.
Right, this week we'll have a look back at Saturday's game at Cove. We'll hear from Jim McAnally and new signing Jordan Brown, and we'll also be previewing the Scottish Cup tie with Stena Wismira. So, Martin, happy new year to you. How was your festive period?
Happy new year to yourself, Colin. Yeah, it was very good. Like most people, I think it was quite quiet this year compared to previous years. But no, yeah, it was nice to have some time off and relax for a wee bit.
I actually enjoyed it, to be honest with you. The not being out and about kind of thing for a change. Speaking to somebody about a week or so ago, and actually nae-haying the pressure or that kind of need to go and do stuff, I actually enjoyed just being at home with the family for a wee change. So, did I quote me that doing it again next year? But but it was just a fine wee change, rather than having the usual hustle and bustle, as we tend to do at this time of the
year. Yeah, I think when the family do first shooting and you've got people coming around, it certainly it makes it quite pressurised. So I think a lot of people this year will be quite glad that it was at a quieter one, with the hope that, you know, maybe there's some normality in 2021. You never know.
Well, it's not started off very well, but
no,
we'll brush that one aside. Right then, speaking of not very good start, Cove last Saturday, the first game of 2020, it was going to be a difficult one. Cove weren't in the best of form, so we maybe fancied our chances slightly, but again, if you look at the lineup, it's slightly more, as we've spoken before, about square pegs and round holes and things like that. The injuries keep kicking in. We're not going to keep using that as an excuse, but it's obviously not helping. Overall impressions of the game?
Yeah, it was a strange one, because going in it, we were quite confident. Well, I say quite confident. The performances we had in the previous three games gave us optimism that we could perform well. And I think that how quick Cove got their goal, I think, personally, completely changed the game plan. I think it would have been nice to suck up a little bit of pressure the opening 15, 20 minutes and then ease yourself into the game. I think that early goal that we conceded probably ended quite a few things that Jim would have probably spoken about pre-match. I think overall, given the way the game finished, you're probably not happy to come out with 1-0. It could have been a lot worse, but I think going into the game with the optimism we had, I think we probably did fall just slightly short.
I mean, it was the worst possible start 2 minutes in, or less than 2 minutes in, and you're 1-0 doing against a team who's up there with one of the favourites to get promoted, or at least get into the playoffs. So you've not got off to the greatest of starts, and you're already fighting an uphill battle.
Yeah, I think we sort of chased our tails as soon as we've gone a goal down, as you mentioned right at the top. It was square pegs and round holes because of the injuries. But I do think that we could have maybe done more in the first half. We didn't create that many chances. COVID three or four in the opening 15, 20 minutes. But we just never seem to really get ourselves going, which we have done in previous games we've spoken before, especially at Balmoor, which seemed to start pretty quick. For one reason or another, it just didn't really happen Saturday.
I think it was like the 41st minute before we actually got a shot on goal.
Yeah.
Boyd's effort went over the top. But even though, you know, Cove went one up, it didn't really cause us too much in a way of problems. It wasn't maybe really until after Simon Ferry got sent off before things really started maybe turning in their favour slightly. Obviously, Ferry's red card is one of those that it could probably go one way or the other. What was your kind of take on it?
When I first seen it, I thought it was a red card, and I've looked at it about 6-7 times and I still think it is a red card. Now, I know that Jim spoke about Jason's covering, you know, Jason Brown's on the cover, but I think it's the way that Ferry's gone into the challenge. I don't think the referee's probably looking at who's covering or not. I think he's just seen Ferry lunging in. I think it's his left, Simon's left leg catches the player on the knee, so I think it's a really reckless high challenge. I think it's gone in at quite a little bit of force as well. So in my opinion, I think actually the referee probably called it right on this occasion.
If you remember a couple of games ago, we were doing a commentary, and one of the I want to say it's a 4-4 game, but it maybe wasn't. One of the guys got defenders got beat by Lyle Cameron, and he went to swing at him because he got past him, and luckily for him, he missed. Now, if he'd made contact with him, we'd probably be calling for a red card for that.
Yeah, I think, would it have been Stevens at Montrose? Is that the one?
That's the one, yes. Maybe
different occasions, but I think that's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah, had on that occasion he'd made contact, we'd be asking for a red card. And I think Simon didn't actually complain too much on Saturday either. I think that was sort of a giveaway as well. But I think it was a reckless challenge at the time. Looking back, I still think it was reckless. And probably a red card was right. You could argue that it could have been a yellow, but for me, I think a red was probably right.
Well, they're gonna appeal it, so...
I was surprised when I read that, because, you know, I know Jim spoke, as I mentioned, about being last man, but I think with the sort of force and how... He's sort of lunged with his feet off the ground and made contact. I would be surprised if this one is overturned.
As it stands, then he's out for the next game, which, given he was playing at centre half, because Gary McKenzie wasn't fit enough to play, and Kyle Bailey was still missing, so you're already down to your bare bones. Andy McCarthy then had to fill in at right back again, and again I think he did a relatively good job, as he did the last time. So obviously you don't want to see him playing it right back for the rest of the season, but you know, players can kind of fill in. That was pretty much it for the half as such. I mean, as I said, COVID didn't really cause them too much in the way of problems. They had McAllister and Meganson playing, but they didn't really sort of connect or combine very well together, I didn't think.
There was only one more effort that I thought was noteworthy, and that was, I think it was Rory McAllister. I could be wrong with that one. He's almost tried to chip Joshua Ray, and Josh made a good save. But other than that, yeah, like yourself, I don't think they connected as well as what they maybe been hoping. They'll probably be disappointed, but overall, I didn't think they caused us too many problems, but likewise, we certainly didn't cause Cove anywhere near as much as what we should have done.
And it's maybe just a change in their tactics slightly, because the majority of the time they've been playing that one lone striker. For some reason, they changed it, they went to the two, which maybe just, you know, affected their tempo slightly.
I think also maybe the fact that they've realised that Pierre is struggling for numbers at the back, they've maybe thought, well, if we go two up top, we can really, you know, put pressure on their back line, and, you know, we conceded within the opening 2 minutes, so it was an uphill battle from there on.
Second half, and again, conceded quite early on in the first half, and then early in the second half, we're down to 9 men. Boyd gets himself sent off. We'd assume it's for dissent or something he said to the referee. It wasn't really picked up during the game. This one, unsurprisingly, has not been appealed. I guess there's no real excuse for it.
No, I think it's a strange one. We don't know what's being said. So obviously, you know, dissent these days, you would probably get sent off for it. But again, we're going about consistency. Now, we've heard quite a lot in recent games with being behind closed doors. You hear an awful lot more of what's said in the touchlines and in the park. And there is sometimes you feel that what's been shouted at a referee, you think it really shouldn't be happening. But then it's this consistency. Would whatever Stephen has said be another game or another player, would the same action be taken? So if a player has said something that shouldn't to a referee and they've been sent off for it, then rightly so. Stephen's reaction on Saturday, he just sort of walked off the park. There was no complaining from him. Probably got another yellow or red card if he had. But the point being that the consistency, if the referees are going to book or send you off for something you've said, it's got to be applied, you know, across the board. And some of the things that we've heard from managers, coaches and players, you would think there's an argument to say, well, they should have had action taken at them beforehand. But again, like you said, we don't know what's been said. So we just need to take the referee at his word that he's sent them off for dissent.
Aye, but you don't want to then go down the path of just booking and sending off everybody for even just opening their mouth. And again, there has to be what constitutes as dissent, what constitutes as that's enough to justify just being a yellow card.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. There's got to be that clarity on what is clear dissent and what is, you would call, maybe I would call it like general in-game frustration, you know, that the odd expletive would come out and it's more frustration at the referee or your own self, but we don't know what Stephen said. It might have been over the top, or again, it might have just been over-officiated official, easier for me to say. But again, as you said, there's got to be clarity on what is dissent and what's not. But on the same token, you're on a yellow card. You know, I think Stephen got booked in the first half for the dissent, that Simon Ferry red card. Mm-hmm. He's got to be careful as well. You know, he's 23, he's not exactly a youngster coming through in 17, 18. He came to the game now well enough. You've got to think, well, if you're on a yellow, be careful what you're saying or, you know, who you're saying it to.
And I'm not making excuses for him, but I think if you watch the game and his game overall, he was having one of those games where nothing was going for him. He kind of got dispossessed a couple of times quite easily. He was giving the ball away, and I think just things had boiled over slightly, and he wasn't maybe happy with the referee. It's not an excuse, you're just maybe trying to think of rhymes and reasons as to why he's done what he's done. But if you go back to our episode 2, I think it was, or episode 3, we did, and when Roy McAllister got sent off for the same thing down in Stranraer.
Yeah.
It's a for a very, very similar thing. We weren't very happy with him then. So much so that he left and got the call out. just coincidence. We're obviously, I wouldn't say there's a disciplinary problem as such, but maybe this is the kind of time for Jim should be stamping his authority a little bit more on these kind of things, because we're already at, what, 3-4 red cards already this season?
Yeah, so as you said, going back to the Roland McAllister, I was quite critical then as well, and I think I'm criticising Steve as well. I think when you're on a booking, you've got to be careful that you say officials, you open yourself up to getting that extra, the yellow and then sent off, and it lets your teammates down. I think there was, it was Jason Brown the other week, you know, coming off the park, I think it was a Montrose game. Mm-hmm. You know, screaming at the linesman, screaming at the referee. And, you know, we were actually surprised he didn't get any retrospective action after the game. It was quite clearly he was annoyed. And I think that sort of thing, now that referees will keep it in mind, but I do think there needs to be, okay, you're frustrated, but if you take it out in the assistant referees or referees, regardless how bad their performance has been, there's only going to be one winner when it comes to the player manager versus the referee. And the referee will just book you or send you off. And it leaves yourself open for criticism further down the line. If you're suspended and your teammates are struggling with injury. So as you said, not saying there's a disciplinary issue, but I think maybe a harder stance needs to come for players who are just towing that line, but maybe on the side of caution from the club in terms of, you know, need to weigh up, because you've now got Simon suspended, Steve suspended, along with the injuries. You know, you're really going with a depleted squad to play Stranraer on Saturday.
I mean, for 40 minutes left of the second half, you would have thought, well, here we go, this is going to be a cakewalk for you for Cole. But again, there wasn't much for Josh Ray to actually do. I thought the guys, they dug in, they showed great character to try and even keep themselves in the game, and to a point where with the last sort of, 5-10 minutes, they could have even sneaked a draw.
I think that's been one of the more pleasing things this season with our performances, is defensively we look a lot stronger. A couple of weeks ago against East Fife, we were down a man. They had one shot off the crossbar and a shot that went wide from about 30 yards by the defender who came forward. And again, we're down to 9 men on Saturday. It didn't really cause us that many problems. So the pleasing thing is we're not shipping goals. It just is, you know, the top end of the park, we're maybe not scoring as much. But like you said, it's pleasing that floodgates didn't open, is what what we might have thought they might have.
Yeah. So let's say, here's what the manager had to say after the game then.
We lose a goal in the first minute or two. And, you know, it's already a hard game. This becomes, you know, twice as hard. And, you know, I thought we had a good foothold in the game when Simon gets sent off. And, you know, after that, you can have a fear the worst a wee bit. That, you know, you're going to get a thrashing or turned out because you know that Cole's incapable of doing that over the last couple of seasons. But, you know, we said to him at half time, we got him in, stay in the game, and, you know, we might steal something at some point. And then obviously when Boyd gets sent off, you know, you could just see it far enough because you think, right, how do we deal with this? But credit to the boys, I mean, I thought they were outstanding. They just played two banks of four, and I think we only conceded one chance, really. I think Josh only had one save in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had the guts in the last 5-10 minutes to get themselves up the park a wee bit and, you know, just give them something to think about. So, you know, disappointing because you hate losing, but, you know, with what happened in the game, you know, I'm kind of proud that especially the players that were in the park, how they come through it and then the effort they gave us, you know what I mean? It was just outstanding.
The goal that Cove got, was it a case of Rory was being clever and got in between two defenders, or was it about a slack defending on your part?
Well, what we try to do is we try to hold the line a wee bit, and I think we were caught in between holding our line and marking our man. And I think, to be honest, it's one thing you have got to say is it's a brilliant cross.
Mm-hmm.
And even, I think, if somebody is behind Rory, I still think he's going ahead at first. And I just want the ones that looked in, you know what I mean? So, sometimes you've got to hold your hands up and say it was a really good cross, you know what I mean? So that was disappointing. But as I said, we got our weather way back in there a wee bit. And, you know, having seen the Simon's red card, which I thought was harsh at the time, it's even harsher now that I've seen that again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even the Cove players were saying it was a yellow card. And I think if, I don't know if you've seen it, but if you watch it, the linesman just basically gives a foul, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's right in front of him, he doesn't get excited or anything like that, but, you know, he's basically tripped him up. It was a professional foul, you know?
Aye.
Nine times out of ten, you would get away with that.
It's more of a, he's taking one for the team kind of thing, taking a yellow just to kind of get himself back. But I wouldn't have said it was any more than that.
Have you seen it?
Aye, I've seen it. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I just think it's really harsh. You know what I mean? There was a train of thought with the local guys that was there, the press guys that. It was for denying a goal scoring opportunity, which I would hope it would be for that, because if it was, we would certainly get him off it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no way he's anywhere near threatening the goals, you know.
Yeah. And what with the second one then, Boyd's
That's just stupidity by him. There's no defence for Boyd swearing at the referee.
Mm-hmm.
My only thing that I would like to see is, and I think I might maybe spoke to you about it at the Montrose game, is players are, you know, if there was tier four Montrose players swearing at the referee, and I'd say to the referee after the game, you shouldn't let that happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, we having the defence for Boyd swearing at the referee, I would just like for referees to be more consistent.
Yeah.
With that, you know, because at the end of the day, you can't just pick and choose, you know, when you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. And for you, is his manager then, does that make it more frustrating? Because it didn't cost you the game, but at 10 men, you probably still had a chance of getting back into the game.
Well, I mean, that's why I was angry with him, because really, we would have, you know, with 10 men, I'm pretty sure we would have got up the park more, and, you know, we might have had a better chance of putting some some more pressure on them, you know, especially the longer they went without scoring, because you could see the frustration that was creeping into their game.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was just anger with the fact that, you know, that he'd done it. You know, it's certainly, it was the last thing we needed, you know.
Is that caused by frustration on his part then?
I think it probably is. I mean, listen, there was a lot of wee petty stuff going against us. You know, in the game, and it was just that there was a total frustration. I mean, there was a foul in the first half where I'm not sure who it was, but our player was cynically brought down when he had a good turn and broke away halfway up just in his own half, and the rest can give it a foul, but doesn't get a yellow, bring a yellow card, but, you know, and I think it was just a bit of frustration, but that's not an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the frustrating thing for me is if I go back to the last few games, you know, with Gary Fraser getting wrong the red card, we've had a woeful penalty given against us against Montrose, and then we've had another big decision go against us with Simon on Saturday again, you know, so I just feel as though we're coming out the wrong end of some refereeing decisions at the minute.
Yeah.
And that's really frustrating.
On the positive side, as you said, that it finished only 1-0 and you could have maybe sneaked someone out. The guys fighting and for everything, does that give you kind of hope for the season as it continues?
Of course it does. I mean, it's just fantastic that, you know, bearing in mind that, you know, if you look at the eight that was left outfield, you know, we've got Andy McCarthy right back, we've got Kieran centre half with Jason. I mean, what is Andy, 21? Kieran is 20, Jason 23, 24. And then Conroy, who's, you know, no a regular kind of a left back, playing left back. And then you've got the wee 18-year-old on the right hand side of the other four, and Jordan, who hasn't played for 2 or 3 months, with Scott Brown and Cookie, who's, you know. So I think it's great testament to them. You know, we had to keep them up to their work and keep trying to push them about and you know, narrow them up and make them play wide. And but, you know, I just, obviously they wear these pods now, the players, and we can get their, you know, we know how far they've ran, and Christ almighty, some of them, I think it was 12k and stuff like that, they've ran, you know, so they've ran them. They're throwing themselves into the ground for us, and that's really pleasing, you know.
Scottish Cup up next. Stenhouse Muir, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, obviously, it's a good tie for us, getting a home draw. Obviously, a tough game still, because, I mean, Stenhouse Muir, if you just need to look at their front two, Matt McGuigan and Greg Spence, you know, two good strikers, you know, that we'd be happy to have in our team. But it's a strange thing, the cup this year, isn't it? Because it seems to be that you're in it to play for prize money rather than play for a, you know, if you could win, you would be looking for another winnable game rather than against a big team, because there's no benefit in playing a big team now as such, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we know it's important to try and keep bringing someone into the club, and, you know, it's a wee break again, isn't it, to the league, so. But no, we look forward to it, and you know, the other thing is I'll get rid of a game suspension for the two that's been sent off, because I would imagine the both of them will put for two games.
Yes.
So we just need to try and get some guys fit again, you know, get some of them back on. Kyle trained on Tuesday and came in on Thursday saying that his ankle was sore. Derek Lyle had a tight calf. Isaac said that he wasn't right. And Big Gary was kind of, to be fair, Big Gary was kind of a pushing us to play, but I thought if I play him Saturday, we'd only have had to come off again. Probably we'd make his injury worse, you know. So he should be okay for this week. I've got a wee worry about Jason, because he had an injury in his hand or his wrist that looks like it could have been a break. he's not been to hospital yet, which was stupid then. I thought he should have went in Saturday, but I think he's going to go tomorrow morning. He's going to go and get an X-ray. So just the way it is, isn't it, this season, you know, with injuries and whatever, you just need to go on with it. And Jordan, at least, I was kidding Jordan on before the game and Saturday, his holiday's over now, and it was well and truly over when he had to play, as long as he did.
So Jim's points in the red cards then, one, I guess he agrees with you in one point, and then I guess he disagrees with you with the other. What's your take on what he said there?
So I think the agreement of Stephen Boyd being silly, I think, yeah, we both agree. But in his remarks there, he said that he's under the impression the red card is for potentially denying a goal-scoring opportunity. I know it's Scottish officials, but I'd be surprised if a referee's thought that is a goal-scoring opportunity from just inside the half. I'd be surprised. I think, personally, the red card is for the nature of the force and the challenge and the lunge. Both feet are sort of off the ground. We'll see who the winner is if the appeal goes in and whether it's rescinded or not. But I would be surprised if that was changed.
He might have been watching the Old Firm game earlier on in the day, maybe, would he?
Well, yeah, you never know. He's maybe disappointed with the result.
Right, as you mentioned there, Jordan Brown's in. That's the transfer window open again. So far, Jordan Brown's in, and just today, Nia Payne is in as well. So it's two in so far. One we know quite a bit about, obviously, Jordan Brown being at Peterhead previously. Nia Payne, we don't know too much about him apart from he is a forward, can play through the middle or on the right hand side, which I guess is a position that we're lacking at the moment. As things stand at the moment, how do you kind of assess the squad, and where do you think Jim might be looking to bring more numbers in, if at all?
At the moment, the squad is quite depleted. I think injuries aside, we don't have a bad team, but as we've said numerous times, injuries will be a part and parcel of the season. I think he maybe will look for another midfielder and potentially another striker on top of what he's got. And I know you just said that he's brought in Nia Payne. I would think he might look to get another one in. We've seen that when Ben plays, he's good, but he does seem to be struggling with injuries at the moment as well. Derek Lyles, I gotta give you know, you'll get about half an hour every game out of him if he's playing. So maybe another midfielder and striker, but then you've also got the option that he maybe needs another defender in as well, because we're struggling at the back. So I think maybe one of each, budget's allowing. There might be some people going out, we don't know yet, but maybe one of each, to be honest.
It's interesting, because if you've got a fully fit squad, you would probably say there's enough numbers there, but
yeah,
the amount of injuries that we've had already, and the amount of suspensions that we've had as well, you haven't had a full bench at all this season. Sometimes you've only got three, you know, on the bench, which is not great. But I guess, yeah, and I guess as well, maybe it all kind of depends on how bad Gary Fraser's injury is as well. You know, if he's got to be out long term or not might determine whether or not he wants to bring in another midfielder. Because yes, he's brought in Jordan Brown, but you know, if Ferry's going to be playing, you know, covering at centre half, a few games for the rest of the season, and then you've only got Jordan Brown, and Andy McCarthy can play in the middle there. Lyle Cameron, I think, is probably more effective in the wide areas. If Andy gets injured or Scott gets injured or something like that, then suddenly you're another midfielder light again. So
I think in terms of priority, you'd probably look at a midfielder, then a centre back and a striker. We've now got on one end, so I think that would be the third choice if he was going to get anybody else in. Like you said, I think midfielder would probably be key, and somebody could, we've spoken about square pegs and round holes, but ideally you want somebody that can maybe cover both in midfield or a defensive player with an option to play at centre back. But I think we will see maybe one or two coming through the door. But again, depends on whether players go as well.
it would just be nice for somebody who can actually bang in a few goals rather than just one goal here and one goal there. Because having, as we said many times already, Scott Brown, top goal scorer last season with 8. I think Ben Armour and Lyle Cameron are top goal scorers with 3. You want somebody that can, just get that ball in the net.
Yeah, I think Ben could have a few more. It's just the luck and the break just hasn't gone his way in some games. I think, except for the want of trying, we've created good opportunities and either keepers making good saves or defenders getting blocks in and whatnot. Just kind of quite hit the rub of the green in that sense. But if we got a striker in that could maybe bag us a handful of goals through the end of the season, then certainly gives a good cause for optimism.
Right, we did speak to Jordan Brown earlier on, so we'll hear what he had to say.
Right, Jordan, back as a Peterhead player, how does it feel?
Yeah, I'm delighted. Obviously, it kind of happened quite quickly in the last couple of weeks after I left Cove, but I was over the moon really once I spoke to Jim. I think I said it before, and there's a massive trust there, obviously playing under him for 5 years, and a lot of respect, and obviously wanting to come back to Peterhead was a big, when I heard that there was a chance to do it, it was a no-brainer for me.
Was the fact that you've been there before make the decision even easier?
I think so, yeah, definitely. I know, to be fair, a lot of the players have changed over in the 2.5 years I've been away. I think it's only Si, Scott and Jason who's still there, but I mean, everyone backroom staff-wise, also the manager, Davey, Hoggy, Jock, Stan, Greg, they're all still there, so and even the guys on the board, I was made to feel very welcome when I came and watched the game last against Montrose on the Tuesday. So yeah, it was a very easy decision, and just something I hope I can make in another long term success.
Was the fact that you could almost guarantee yourself getting regular games again and another lure to signing on again?
I think so, yeah. I think I've learned a lot in the last 18 months, obviously not been playing as much as I wanted, but I think I'm not naive. I think it's going to be difficult. There's a lot of good players. It's a good squad. Obviously we've got the injury problems and suspension problems coming up, but I think there's a lot of good players, and it'll be hard for me to get in the team, but I know that if I can keep my head down, work hard, and I will get the chance there, and Jim knows exactly, the manager knows what I can do and what I can bring to the team, so I hope to be able to do that and contribute by getting back and first of all back in the pitch, which was delighted to do on Saturday, and then building up that minutes to then affect the game by scoring goals.
Has Jim given you kind of any expectations of how much game time you'll get?
No, not at the moment. I think like I say, it all happened very fast in the time of the year as well. I think I only had the one session with the boys on the Tuesday down at Forfar, and then literally I never even seen all the boys there, and then just met them on the Saturday at the game. So no, I'm sure we're training again tomorrow, so it'll be good to catch up again. And I think just as the week's gone, like as I say, I've not played a lot of football, so no matter what you do with the pitch, when you're not on the pitch, it'll take me time to get match fitness. But I was absolutely delighted to get kind of 75 minutes in May on Saturday, and it felt good from it. And obviously just disappointing with the way the game went, but it's something to build on.
And when you've got a manager like Jim McAnally wanting to re-sign you again, does that kind of give you a bit of a confidence boost?
Oh, of course, yeah. It's great to feel valued, and for someone like that, you know, and he's been at the club for so long, and I think his longevity shows just how well respected he is in the game, and not just at Peterhead. So I think, yeah, it's, like I say, that trust is a massive thing for me, and I hope to be able to repay that, especially to Jim and the guys.
And you played on Saturday, as you said, probably maybe played longer than you were maybe expecting to. But what was your overall thoughts in the game then?
I thought, yeah, obviously very disappointed to concede the set piece after 2 minutes. I think that gave ourselves an uphill task. And then the way we approached it, we tried to kind of press them high, and obviously that left Jason and Simon kind of 2v1 at the back. And I think it's a harsh red card on Si. I think it's when the ref looks it back, I think I'm sure he'll probably agree it was so far up the pitch, you know, and Jason was clearly covering around, as you can see from the highlights, and I think a yellow would have been suffice. But obviously then it's a massive uphill task for us, but I thought the spirit and the attitude of the boys, like a lot of boys play that position, obviously Si start in the centre half, and Andy goes back to right back, and Kieran went in the centre half with Jason, which I thought the two of them were brilliant. So yeah, and then to be fair, once we kind of got our shape again, and I think the core of the squad's good and the quality's there, but obviously it's difficult with 10 men on the big pitch at Cove, and then to go down to lose Boydie right after half time really made it almost impossible. But I think we showed, I mean, we really pushed Cove all the way. They, they were edgy towards the end. We got a couple of set pieces. Could get a great effort that Stu McKenzie tapped around the post. So, yeah, I don't think we ashamed ourselves at all. And it's something that, like the manager said, I've seen his comments after saying that, I mean, that's him sitting second in the league. And as you can see, as I know from the past before, you can, if you go on a run in this league, you can go up the way. And if you go on a bad run in this league, you can go the other way. So I think we've got plenty to take confidence from. And hopefully we can get players back.
Were you impressed with the characteristics of the squad or the team, not to sort of fold and capitulate altogether?
I was, yeah, because especially when you go away to this place, like Cove obviously got a strong home record, obviously lost the last couple, but apart from that, like I know from obviously being there, like it's only, I think that was the first two defeats they've kind of ever had there, so I know they're strong there, and to lose a goal after 2 minutes, the boys could have crumbled, but I thought we dug in really well, and then to go down obviously to the 10 and then 9 men. But I'm not surprised. I know it's the way Jim and David drill us, and the boys stuck together, and really they were all vocal all over the pitch. I think Scott from the middle of the park, and then you had Jason and Keenan at the back, like I said, and then Cookie's experienced, and yeah, we Lyle works his socks off. So I think everyone dug in. Conroy's obviously experienced, and then you had Andy drop back to right back. So I think everyone that was left on the pitch was dug in for each other, and that gives us real belief going forward.
You've only been there a wee while, but how do you assess the players that's there? I mean, how far up the league should we be looking?
Yeah, like I say, it's such a tight league, isn't it? Like, and I think the quality's definitely there. A lot of these boys, and like it is with the majority of teams in this league now, a lot of the boys have played at a higher level and could probably still play at higher levels if it wasn't for the kind of, I don't know, it's so hard in Scottish football, isn't it, to kind of sustain at that high level with all the budgets and that, and especially what's happening now at the moment. But yeah, I definitely think we should be looking to consolidate and see where it can take us. But I think, like I say, we need to concentrate on trying to. It's always by the odd goal as well. I think a lot of the games, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but even the games that kind of Peterhead have been involved in and have went the other way, it's always by the odd goal. So I think it's important to. We need to get. With my first spell at Peterhead, like, it was all about, like, when my first few seasons, we winning a lot of games at Balmer. You want to make teams, you want to be hard to beat, and you want to make teams dread kind of coming to our pitch. And we'll need to probably do that again. And take advantage of the home games. But like the guys have showed, they've had a couple of great away results this season already. So I think the quality's definitely there. And obviously fitness has been an issue, and then suspension will be over the next couple of weeks. But I think there's more than enough quality in the squad to look up the way and not down the way.
Fine to see Jordan back at Peterhead again. What do you think he's going to bring into for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think he's a very good addition. I think his range of passing will be utilised within the team. I think we do lack sometimes that ball carrier when Scott's slightly further up the park. If you've got the two of them in the middle, then I think it could be a very good addition. You're hoping that he chips in with a few goals as well. Yeah, I think he'll be a good addition coming back.
I think his experience as well will probably help. As he mentioned there, that there's only three players left from the last time he was there. You know, Jim obviously keeps having to change his squad year after year, as we've mentioned before, particularly more this year as well. So somebody who's played at that level, who knows how to play against the teams in and around about us as well, is obviously going to be a big advantage to players like Lyle Cameron and even Darren Kesson or somebody like that who's on the fringes of the squad. You know, a signing like that can only benefit Peterhead in the long run.
Yeah, I think he mentioned it in an interview there as well with you, that the level of trust that, you know, Jim's got in him and vice versa. I think Jim, it's not a player that, almost like Nia Payne, that you're taking a risk on. You know exactly what you're going to get, exactly what you can bring to the pitch. Yeah, I think it will be a good signing, and as you said, his experience, the younger players can tap into that, and you know, whether they can improve their game through it or, you know, just improving on what they're currently doing.
And it'll just be a case of getting he's getting his fitness back up again, because as you said, he hasn't played much in the last 18 months. I think he's only played 3 games this entire season. I think previously to the game on Saturday, his last one was mid-November. So that's a long time for a player to play. So for him to play 70 minutes, I guess, as we said, he probably would have been the case prior to kick-off. But obviously circumstances meant that he had to dig in. But you know, as he gets his fitness back, I think we'll get a great player back again.
Yeah, I think he's only going to improve as the fitness comes along. I think the legs would have fairly been served for him on Sunday morning. The amount of work that he did, as you said, he probably wouldn't have been expecting to play anywhere near that amount of game time. But as you said, the fitness will come over the next couple of weeks, and I'm sure we'll see a good player returning.
So, by the looks of things, Jordan could be in with a shout of starting again on Saturday against Stenis Muir in the Scottish Cup. Scottish Cup, as Jim mentioned, they're slightly different this season. I think every round up until maybe the semi-final or something like that is played to a finish. So there's no replays, as you would normally have at these early stages. Peter has been drawn against Stenis Muir. It's probably a tie that I think maybe both sides would think is winnable.
Yeah, I think when the draw was made, initially you think, oh, it's nice to get a lower league team, we're at home. It's also a potential banana skin. Jim mentioned it in his interview with you, they've got two good strikers. They're inconsistent, they're a wee bit like us. They've played nine in the league, won three, drawn three, lost three. You're never sure if fits, then it's your team's got to turn up. But they'll probably fancy it as well. You know, it's a one-off shot in the cup. But I do think it is a potential banana skin for us, because I think we'd go into the game as strong favourites being on the home side.
Yeah, as you said, they've drawn 3-1, 3 and lost 3, but they've scored 14 and conceded 14 as
yeah.
well. So, you know, it looks as though it's going to be an entertaining game.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Anyway, but as Jim says as well, because there's no crowds, if you win this one, the Premier League teams come into it. So do you then fancy, if you do get through, do you fancy a team like Aberdeen Rangers or Celtic to come to Balmoor, because there's nobody going to be there to kind of see it?
I think this year, as you both said, the cup's completely different for all the teams. I think this year you'd be wanting the most favourable draw that you can get that gives you the best opportunity of going through and winning, rather than what would have been a potential glamour tie in terms of money coming in with the revenue in the club. I think this year clubs would be looking at getting on paper an easier draw with the hope of going through in the cup, rather than getting the big so-called teams,
I guess if you do draw one of those sides, the potential of TV money or, you know, it being on Sky or BT or whoever, I've lost kind of track of who's got the cup games these days, whoever's going to have that might be extra revenue as such. Plus as well, of course, if it's a pay-per-view game, as most of them are anyway, you might get more pay-per-view buy, so that's another way to kind of to look at it.
Yeah, there is positives if you do get the so-called bigger teams. I personally think this year that clubs would be looking to go down the route of getting the so-called winnable games and progressing the cup that way, rather than having the big teams home or away.
The team that's going to play, or the team that's left to play, I guess, depending on it's difficult to kind of assess who's going to be in, who's going to be out. I still think, though, whoever it is playing, I think we'll have enough to get through.
Yeah, I think we should. I think in this sort of game, it all comes down to your attitude and how you start the game. I think you've got to go in with... It's almost like we've spoken before about, you know, the team seem to come out sometimes in the second half after getting a bit of a rollicking at half time. It's almost like you need to go into this sort of game thinking that you're already getting beat and that you're fired up, ready to go for it. Because I think if we give Stenis Muir half a chance, you know, they'll try and grab it with both hands. So I think the mindset and the mentality of the team will be just as important as the ability on the park.
And as you said, they'll fancy a scalp. It's not like it's a Highland League team against a Premier League team as such. I mean, Stenis Muir were only 2 years ago playing in the same division, so you know they would still fancy it. But I guess, as you said, it's all about the attitude and you know, if we're going to create as many chances as possible, it's taking those chances as well.
Yeah, we've been guilty of creating chances but not taking them, and I think that if we're going to be successful on Saturday against the lower league opposition, then you've got to take your chances. It's such a cliche thing to say, but the opening 15, 20 minutes, I think Sinners will try and come up and frustrate us and then grow into the game. If we can get an early goal, then you're sort of forcing them to come out and you can maybe pick them off slightly with gaps at the back if they do try and do that.
And switching back to the league briefly, we're just over a third of the way through the season. We've played everybody at least once. We've played Montrose and Cove twice. How do you kind of assess things so far, and how do you assess the team sort of round about us?
I think it's, from Peterhead's point of view, it has been an improvement on last season. I think there is certainly improvement defensively. We were very critical last year of one mistake and we seem to concede. I think whilst there is still areas that, you know, it's quite evident we can improve on, I do think there is progression there. Maybe just not taking our chances. We've been guilty of that, creating good opportunities but not putting them away. Teams round about us, it's a very competitive league, but we've said that numerous times. I do think you're just starting to see some of the teams creating their little packs now at the top and at the bottom. But I don't think there's any clear weak team. I think even Forfar, they've shown when they came up and played us, you know, they are a good side. Again, they've probably just not taken their chances either. So I think it is a competitive league. I think we've done well, but not well enough to rest on our laurels. I think if we get a couple of additions through the door, if the injuries can sort of clear up and subside a wee bit, then optimistic for a good run going into the back end of the season.
We're more optimistic at this time than we were maybe this time last year.
Yeah, I think this time last year, maybe towards the end of January, we're looking at the fixtures and trying to pick off points to avoid getting drawn into a relegation battle. This year, I think if we can pick up points, you're looking up the league rather than down. And I think, as I said, injuries cleared up a wee bit, cut out the suspensions, take more chances. All easier said than done, I know. But I do think we can have a positive end to the end of the season.
And hopefully we get a positive end to the season as well, where we're looking, as Jordan says, looking up rather than over our shoulders and worrying about what's happening below us.
Yeah, I think we've got to be mindful of the teams below, but I certainly think this group of players, the quality that we've got in it, we should certainly be looking up rather than down.
Excellent. Well, that'll be it for the first show of 2021. My thanks goes to Martin for joining me as always. We'd like to thank you all for listening again throughout 2020 and hope you'll continue to support us during 2021. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. So until then, take care. Cheers.